Fuzzy TV.
Romans chapter 6, 7 and 8. The gifts that keep giving. I mean, keep giving. Today, we're going to look into some really fine points with profound consequences for your peace and for your peace. Being justified then by God, we may be having peace. Romans 5:1. Being justified, we may be having peace. As I said many times, you can't have peace with God until you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and that's called faith, that God looks at you through his Son, Jesus Christ, who did everything right, who did not fail, whose faith was sterling. That's the faith we're credited with. Does it get any better than that? It doesn't. So now let's look into more details in Romans chapter 6. I'm Martin Zender, broadcasting from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. It doesn't matter where you are on this planet. You can't really move anywhere and be a different person. Because you always take your problems with you, but you also take your blessings with you. You take what you know with you. You take your faith with you. And that is something that we have wherever we go. This is why Paul could say he knows how to abound and he knows how to be abased. Paul was at home in someone's home, having a nice cup of coffee and lunch, talking about God, talking about justification, same things we're talking about. Or he could be in a prison in Philippi, singing hymns. Isn't that a great thing? That what we have can't be taken away, and it doesn't depend on our location on this planet, or our situation even on this planet. Situations change. Fortunes come, fortunes go. But this truth that we've been looking into of justification by faith and the ensuing peace, the reality of it, does not change, ever. And there's nothing you can do to get out of it. We left off in Romans 6, verse 14, "For sin shall not be lording it over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Hey, that's great news. Verse 15, of course, "What then? Should we be sinning, seeing that we are not under law, but under grace? May it not be coming to that." Okay, of course, we know that. Now, new territory here. And again, and I'm not just saying this, I am seeing things I've never seen before. I've never seen them in quite the technicolor. I've seen them before, but like the Wizard of Oz, before Dorothy comes out of her house into Oz with the technicolor world, it just keeps getting brighter and more vivid and more real. It's always been this way. But what an amazing gift God has given us that it certainly does keep giving. Now, watch this. Paul says, "Are you not aware that to whom you are presenting yourselves as slaves for obedience, his slaves you are, whom you are obeying, whether of sin for death or of obedience for righteousness?" All right, that's a technical, very technical statement there by Paul. It's tough to work through, I will grant you that. But when we take the time to do it, and I've taken the time to do it, and I'm happy to do it for you, I'm going to present it to you. But as always, read your scriptures, follow along with me. Your Bereans, all of you, don't take my word for anything. Seek the word for yourselves. But I know that what I'm going to tell you is going to gel. It's going to just correspond with everything you know about the goodness of God and the sufficiency of Christ. When we see the word obedience, we freak out. And it's really important, especially here. Paul uses this word three times in this short phrase. This is not law obedience. The word itself, the elements I told you yesterday are under here. Under H-E-A-R. And the concordant definition is to hear and to heed. Now we're going to see what Paul wants the Romans to heed in this context. It's amazing. Again, this is the opposite of law. Don't get nervous when you see obedience, obedience. This is, I'll give you this hint now. This is giving heed to a teaching. Because this part of Romans is about teaching, teaching, teaching. What you think is so important. It is so important to have right information about God and Christ. Because the wrong information, which many of us have had for many years, just screwed us up completely. Made us want to give up on the whole thing, give up on God, give up on Christ, all because of what? We got wrong information. This sounds amazing, but justification that we can live in and profit by every day, and the peace of God that is real in our lives that we can have, it comes with information. It comes by information. It comes by believing the right teaching. And for me to hear some people saying, not in this circle, but others, even in the body of Christ, saying that teaching is not that important. It's just a matter of just as long as we get along with each other, as long as we have fellowship. No, it is about the teaching. Paul's gospel is teaching, teaching, teaching. It's what you know. This is an information war. It's a war of the truth versus the lies of Satan. That's the war you're in. You're not in a war against your flesh anymore. That's done. Jesus Christ won that. But there is still a war now. If it's not a war between you and your flesh, what is it? It's a war between right information and wrong information. It's a war between truth and lies. And Paul is so careful that you get the teaching right, because this is what changes everything. And so when Paul says obey, he's talking about hearing and heeding a teaching. Watch this. Watch this. Are you not aware that to whom you are presenting yourselves as slaves for obedience, his slaves you are, whom you are obeying, whether of sin for death or of obedience for righteousness? Now let's substitute the definition for obeying in there, and let's read the definition instead of the word. Are you not aware that to whom you are presenting yourselves as slaves for hearing and heeding, his slaves you are, whom you are hearing and heeding, whether of sin for death or for hearing and heeding for righteousness? I know that's awkward, but Paul's wording is always awkward. That's why we have to slow down and take this one element at a time. But it helps to get the right definition of obedience. It's hearing. And here we are again with presenting yourselves. Presenting yourselves. Paul used this phrase many times. Talked about it yesterday. Present yourselves to God as if alive from among the dead. Do not present yourselves to sin. Present yourselves to God. This presentation, what is that? It's basically turning and facing something. Paul is not telling the believers here to stop drinking whiskey at 9 in the morning. Stop looking at porn. Stop being jealous of one another. Stop cussing. He's not saying any of that. He's saying, present yourselves to a set of teaching. Present yourselves to these facts. Avail yourselves. That's another way to say it. Avail yourselves of the teaching. Turn this way. Lend your ear toward this rather than lending your ear toward that. Lend your ear. Face this. Listen to this. obey, hear, and heed this rather than hear and heed that. And the heeding is not heeding a fleshly instruction such as don't taste that, don't touch that. It's heeding the teaching. In other words, don't just hear the fact that we are reckoning a man to be justified apart from works of law, Romans 3:28. Hear it and heed it. Well, how do you heed a fact? You heed it by believing it. So don't just hear it, but believe it. So that's another way we can say obey, hear and to heed, and we can say it as hear and believe it. Hear it and believe it. I should just go ahead and get down to the next statement because that's going to make everything clear. I'm going to read it again. Are you not aware that to whom you are presenting yourselves, to whom you are availing yourselves as slaves, like we belong to you, we belong to you. Who's the you? Different information. Whom you are presenting yourselves as slaves for obedience, like I'm going to be a slave to hear and to heed something. I'm going to be a slave. I either want to be a slave of hearing and heeding truth or of hearing and heeding lies. That's what this is about. It's about facing a teaching. I'm going to give you the example of Abraham in a second. So to whom you are presenting yourselves as slaves for obedience, his slaves you are, whom you are obeying, whether of sin for death or for obedience for righteousness. So you can either obey sin, we talked about that yesterday, obeying sin has nothing to do with sinning a little bit or sinning a lot. Obeying sin is hearing and believing what sin, capital S, is telling you. And as I said yesterday, Satan is the one animating sin. And you will be a slave to the one you're listening to. But this is strange. Whom you're obeying, whether of sin for death or for obedience for righteousness. This is what I say. This is a very technical sentence here. Whom you are obeying for obedience. Paul uses it twice in the same sentence. Whomever you are hearing and heeding, his slaves you are, whom you are obeying, whether of sin for death or of obedience. Obeying obedience. This is what Paul says here. This is what Paul says. Obeying obedience. So the fact that he's repeating it here in the strangest way just emphasizes the point that this is not about your classic don't do this, don't do that action of the law. The law did that. With the law, you heard and heeded the instructions, the directions. Bring this sacrifice on this day. Bring that sacrifice on that day. Observe this feast. Don't work on this day. Do this on that day. Those were the things you were supposed to hear and heed in the law of Moses. Here, it's teaching. And it's just emphasized when Paul says obey obedience. Hear and heed what you're hearing and heeding. And that will lead to righteousness. You don't get righteous by doing righteous acts. You get righteous by hearing the voice of righteousness. And heeding, that is believing the voice of righteousness. That will lead to righteousness. This is how you avoid the sins of the flesh. Not by manhandling your flesh, but by hearing the right message. When you hear grace, it causes you, that has fruit for righteousness. That bears fruit when you hear grace. When you hear law, on the other hand, that bears fruit for death. Because the law is a minister of condemnation and death. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you are obeying sin, that will lead to death. Whom you are obeying of sin for death or of obedience for righteousness. Now thanks be to God. Here's the money phrase. Listen to this. Now thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin. Again, capital S, sin. You were, hearing and heeding the voice of condemnation. Yet, now, I added now, it doesn't say now, I want to be clear on that. Now, thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin, yet you obey from the heart. And this is what they were now doing. You obey from the heart. Here's that word, obey again. Just look at this strange phrase. You obey from the heart. Have you ever heard of anybody obeying the law of Moses from the heart? Nobody obeyed the law of Moses from the heart. You obey the law of Moses or else. There was nothing from the heart. That happens for Israel during the new covenant when God puts his writes his law upon the hearts of Israel. And he turns their hearts from hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Then it will be a heart obedience for the law of Moses. But that doesn't happen until the return of Christ and the inauguration of the thousand-year kingdom. Until then, the only law we're acquainted with in the scriptures is do this or else. It was not an obedience of the heart. It was an obedience of do this or we're going to throw large rocks at you until you die. Yet you obey from the heart. Here it is. You obey from the heart, the type of teaching to which you were given over. Bang! That's it. That explains everything that went before. The type of teaching. This is in scriptures. Type of teaching. All three words in the concordant version and dark face type, all in the Greek text. You hear and heed the type of teaching. This is what I told you. The heeding is not doing what I tell you. The heeding is believing what I tell you. None of this is about doing what I tell you. It's about believing what I tell you. And what is that? That is teaching. And Paul is saying, avail yourselves, present yourselves. Go to the right teaching and say, here I am, change me, teaching. That's what Paul means where he said, present yourselves as slaves to an obedience that is the hearing and to heeding of righteousness, which will produce fruit for righteousness. I'll say this again. It's so good. You don't become righteous by doing righteousness. You become righteous by heeding teaching about righteousness and believing that you're justified by faith apart from works of law. And there's two options here, sin and righteousness. Sin is the tisking, the voice of condemnation, the voice of Christianity, the voice of Satan. You better behave yourself. Well, we do want to behave ourselves, but how do we do it? We know that the law route is closed because the law only produces indignation, and that road's closed. We're going to get into that when we get into Romans chapter 7. So the law doesn't work. What does work? Grace and righteousness. Our righteousness? No. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:21. Now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifested. Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. Ooh, hear and heed that. Heed it. How do you do what that says? If we think of heed and like do what it says, how can you do a righteousness of God is now manifest, but a righteousness of God based on Jesus Christ's faith. How do you do that? It's not a thing you do. It's a thing you believe. It's not a thing you do. It's a thing you believe. Yeah, thanks be to God. And Paul is so thankful about this. He was so thankful that anybody believed his message of grace, his gospel of grace. Paul has a distinct gospel. If there are people watching who have never heard this before, Paul has a distinct message apart from the Israel message. This is a message of the transcendent grace of God. So Paul says, thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin. And again, this doesn't mean that they were sinning all the time. They may have been. But they lived under the specter of condemnation. It may not have been the condemnation of law, but maybe the condemnation of the conscience. Maybe the fact that they worshiped false gods who were terrifying, just as terrifying as the Christian God, probably less terrifying than the Christian God. The Christian God is the standard of all terrifying deities, the false deity of Christianity. You obey from the heart the type of teaching to which you were given over. Now, Paul says, now in verse 18, now, being freed from sin, you're enslaved to righteousness. Now, being freed from sin. Well, wait a minute. How are they freed from sin? Paul hasn't told them. He hasn't given them a list of instructions. Hasn't told them what to do yet. Oh, but he has. Avail yourselves of this teaching. What teaching? That you're now free from sin. So if you believe you're now free from sin, then guess what the result of that is? You're now freed from sin. Why am I freed from sin? Because you believe that I told you you're free from sin. Based on what? Based on the faith of Christ. Based on the righteousness of God in sending Christ to the cross to take away the sins of the world. That's what it's based on. Now, being freed from sin, you're enslaved to righteousness. Now, these people are just standing there, and if they turn to the right, they're justified. If they turn to the left, they come under condemnation. The smile of God is still on them, but the wrong information will make them think the wrong things about themselves. The right information will make them think the right way about themselves. In the meantime, what are these people doing? Nothing. They're just standing there. Oh, I hear something coming from here. Hark, I hear another sound coming from here. Oh, this voice says we're slaves to sin. This voice says we're free from sin. Paul says, if you avail yourself of this teaching of ours, you will be free from sin. Why? Because I'm telling you that it's so. Because I'm telling you that it's so. Abraham. God told Abraham, a father of many nations have I appointed you. I'll put the verse down here. A father of many nations, Romans 4. A father of many nations have I appointed you. Facing which, I'm going to go right to it. Romans 4. Oh boy. Romans 4, 17. God to Abraham, a father of many nations have I appointed you. Turning, availing himself, presenting himself to it. Facing which, he believes it of the God who is vivifying the dead and calling what is not as if it were. Abraham was childless. He was up in years, so was his wife. God says, I've appointed you a father of many nations. And Abraham hears and heeds it. What do you mean he heeds it? Does that mean he goes out and tries to procreate and to be the father of many nations? No, he heeds the declaration, i.e., he believes the declaration of God. He believes the declaration of God. There it is, to hear and to heed. Obey. He obeyed it. Abraham obeyed. Oh, you mean he did the law? No, he obeyed. He heard and heeded a message, a teaching, a declaration of God. Meanwhile, the man himself is static. He's just standing there. And these Romans are going from being slaves of sin to free from sin while they're standing there. They haven't done anything different at all. And you're going to see this in the first few verses of Romans chapter 7. I'm going to get into that Monday. You're going to love it. It's the same with Christ in Adam. As in Adam, all are dying. Oh, what did the people do who are dying in Adam? Nothing. They're just static. As in Adam, all are dying. Thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. Oh, now I'm in Adam. Now I'm in Christ. What did I do differently? Nothing. You just switched hands. What did you do to switch hands? Nothing. The battle was between Adam and Christ. That was the battle. As I've said many times, the whole of salvation is not about you. It's not about you. I wish Christians would just not be so self-important. Like, it's up to me. No, get off the freaking stage. You're losers, like us, losers. The battle for you came down to two individuals, Adam and Christ. Romans 5, 18 and 19. Through one man, sin entered the world. Through one man, justification enters the world. For the same all that sin condemned, Christ justifies the same all. That's Romans 5, 18, 19. Read it for yourselves. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. As in Adam all are dying, thus also in Christ shall all be vivified. What changes on my end? Nothing. Nothing. I came to be under Adam by no voluntary action of my own. I came to be under Christ by no voluntary action of my own. One of Phil Meal's favorite videos of mine was the one I made called Condemned and Redeemed Without Our Consent. condemned and redeemed without our consent. MDTV, I can't remember the number. I think it's got a 9 in there somewhere. I don't know, maybe not. I'm going to link it down here. I made it in my car. I was really depressed that night. And I remember I just wanted to get the basic truth out of how we switched hands like in the night. In the night while we were asleep doing nothing. It was when Abraham was asleep that God cut the covenant with him, put Abraham to sleep. Adam was put to sleep when woman came out of him. We were asleep when we switched hands between Adam and Christ. That's the level of your participation here. And when you wake up, you say, oh, what happened? What happened? Well, now you're in Christ. These Romans woke up one day and there's a new teaching in town. What happened? Well, now you're free from sin. What? How's that possible? Because I'm telling you, it was accomplished by Jesus Christ's faith. Well, that's a new teaching. Hear it and heed it and you will be free from sin. And this is, I have to end with this. I wish I could keep going because I feel like I'm on a roll. Am I? I really feel like I am. This feels so freaking good. Now, being free from sin, you're enslaved to righteousness. Now, right now, right now. And this is what made me write the book. This is what opened Romans 6 for me, what I'm about to read. This is what opened Romans 6, 7, and 8. I didn't understand it until I read this. This blew my mind. Are you ready for this? Now, being freed from sin, you are enslaved to righteousness. And then Paul says in verse 19, as a man am I saying this because of the infirmity of your flesh. What? Wait a minute. In verse 19, they're infirm in the flesh. But in verse 18, they're free from sin. That's when it hit me. I mean, it hit me like a ton of pomegranates. Freedom from sin has nothing to do with what you are doing. These people were infirm in the flesh and freed from sin at the same time. Let me say that again. The Romans and us and anyone who believes this message, we are freed from sin and infirm in the flesh at the same time. That truth clashes with every Christian doctrine. They say you're not free from sin until you stop sinning. That is a lie. That is the voice of Satan's. That is the voice of Satan animating sin and making it scare you. No. And it's only by believing this message that your flesh will conform to the truth. This involves becoming a slave of righteousness for righteousness. I wanted to get in that today. I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm going to get into it Monday over the weekend. Please meditate on these things because this is pure greatness.